Good afternoon. It's 5:06 and 79 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Keneally Roberts.
I can feel things getting better. Our system is beginning to move again.
University officials are hoping to return to normal for the fall semester.
Moorhead City Council is working to shore up next year's budget.
One of the world's largest greenhouses added robots to their workforce this week.
A faster spreading variant of COVID-19 is moving through Lexington.
Fraudulent claims have shut down the state's unemployment system.
In sports, several MSU and Rowan County teams are in action this weekend.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Mostly clear skies tonight with a low around 55. We'll have a look at your region's extended weather forecast after this news.
While exact plans and safety measures for fall 2021 will continue to be refined over the weeks and months ahead, the Moorhead State University campus is turning its attention to a return to more normal operations. MSU will be increasing the number of in-person courses for the fall while continuing to offer a wide selection of online courses and programs to meet student needs. In an address to faculty and staff Thursday, President Dr. Jay Morgan said technology upgrades and many residence hall renovations will also be a focal point for the fall preparations.
We still encourage you to consider the vaccination, but we also certainly respect your need, and you should, to confer with your health provider, your medical physician, to determine what is best for you. But as a campus, we really would like to see our faculty, our staff, and our students obtain the vaccination.
Moorhead City Council met in special session on Thursday to discuss the upcoming fiscal year budget. The council heard from various departments and organizations about budget needs for the upcoming year, including representatives with the Kentucky Folk Arts Center. The KFAC has been moved into the Cottle College of Arts, Humanities, and Language at Moorhead State University. Mayor Laura White Brown says the group is asking for $10,000 next year to support new programming.
There have been dips in funding as far as what the city has contributed in the past. However, this new group that's kind of looking at it has a plan, and they've sent us kind of a three-year plan as well as a funding structure and administrative structure as well. And so I think for the first time in a long time, we have kind of this support behind it that makes it much more encouraging to fund.
Budget discussions are also on the agenda for the City Council's regular monthly meeting, which will take place on Monday at 6 p.m.
AppHarvest, the Moorhead-based ag tech company operating one of the nation's largest indoor farms, has added robots to its workforce. The organization acquired Root AI, an artificial intelligence farming startup, along with its robotic universal harvester, Virgo. AppHarvest founder and CEO Jonathan Webb says Virgo will provide assistance to AppHarvest's army of human workers, which now stands at more than 550 individuals at its 60-acre facility in Moorhead.
And the robotics we're putting in just early to monitor pests and disease, to monitor production, to figure out when the tomatoes are ripening, and we're able to collect that data. So this robot's not only picking and harvesting, but also just scanning the plants so that we can make better decisions on figuring out when we should be harvesting, when we should be shipping, and that's going to be an evolution over time.
Webb says the data Virgo collects is critical to AppHarvest's mission to create a sustainable and efficient food system that minimizes food waste and resource use. Root AI's 19 full-time employees have joined AppHarvest Technology Group, including its co-founder Josh Lessing and Ryan Knopf. The pair will oversee the development of the robots and their AI capabilities as AppHarvest expands and builds additional greenhouses throughout the state.
A faster-spreading COVID-19 variant is most likely circulating in Lexington, according to local health officials, but its impact isn't yet clear. The B.1.1.7 strain, first detected in the United Kingdom, is now the dominant form of COVID-19 in the country. That's coming from the head of the Centers for Disease Control this week. Fayette Health Department spokesman Kevin Hall says the more easily spread variant has been identified in Lexington, but trackers are relying on limited data. That news as COVID-19 cases are hitting a plateau in the city and across the state. With the numbers lower than in January, Hall says complacency is a problem.
We have too many people who think that they can put their guard down, that they can go back to living life exactly like it was pre-pandemic. And we have too many people thinking that while everyone else has got the vaccine, I don't need it. We still need more people to get that vaccine.
There are now nearly 50 locations offering COVID-19 vaccines in some capacity in Lexington. Next on the city's to-do list, outreach to young people and those who are homebound or face other barriers to getting the shot.
Health departments and other Kentucky vaccine sites continue to report unfilled vaccine appointments. The WEDCO Health Department is working to educate community members about the safety and efficacy of the vaccines. Director Crystal Miller tells LEX 18 the demand for the shot is already dwindling.
I did not think we would be here this quickly. 30 and younger, that generation just did not see the risks, were not as afraid of getting the virus.
Miller said there are many potential reasons for the lack of demand. She also says the faster people get vaccinated, the faster the pandemic can end.
Governor Andy Beshear signed a partial ban on no-knock warrants today after months of demonstrations set off by the fatal shooting of Breonna Taylor in her home during a botched police raid. The 26-year-old Taylor, a Louisville emergency medical technician studying to become a nurse, was shot multiple times in March of 2020 after being roused from sleep by police. No drugs were found, and the warrant was later found to be flawed. The law signed by the Democratic governor is not the total statewide ban many demonstrators and some Democratic lawmakers had sought, but it drew bipartisan support in the Republican-controlled legislature. It only permits no-knock warrants if there is clear and convincing evidence that the crime being investigated would qualify a person, if convicted, as a violent offender. The warrants must be executed between 6 a.m. and 10 p.m., and officers are required to take additional steps to obtain warrants. Judges are also required to sign legibly when approving them, and an EMT must now be nearby during the execution of the warrant.
Governor Beshear also signed House Bill 574 in Frankfort. That was Wednesday morning. It's a measure both Democrats and Republicans support. Officials say prior to the pandemic, Kentucky had some of the most restrictive voting laws in the country. But Beshear tells LEX 18 it's a huge step for the state.
This is a session that we saw a lot of battles in, and to be able to come together and expand at least in part our access to the ballot box is a win for Kentuckians.
The law creates 3 days of early in-person voting, enhances the ability of state election officials to remove non-Kentucky residents, keeps online portals for absentee ballots, and establishes voting centers.
A surge in fraudulent unemployment cases in Kentucky has prompted state officials to shut down the unemployment insurance system for 4 days. It will reopen on Tuesday. During the shutdown, officials will work to increase security and combat fraudulent claims. Officials made the announcement on Thursday during Governor Andy Beshear's COVID-19 press conference. Amy Cubage, who serves as a legal counsel to the governor's office, explains the situation.
We hate that we have to do this to make things more difficult, but these criminals are relentless. They will not stop.
Following the security upgrade, users will need to create a new 12-digit password, verify their email address, and receive an access code through email, in addition to using a new 8-digit PIN number mailed to unemployment applicants. Users are encouraged to review all of the information on their account to make sure it's correct. If the last 4 digits of their bank account or routing number is not in their account, they will receive a paper check. Only new claimants can enter account information for the time being.
Governor Beshear's COVID-19 orders aren't going anywhere for now. And as WUKY's Josh James reports, a judge is keeping the governor's orders intact while a court battle plays out between the administration and the GOP-led General Assembly.
Franklin Circuit Judge Philip Shepard ruled Wednesday that allowing a legislature-approved resolution to stand would create, quote, uncertainty and unnecessary obstacles in the fight against COVID-19. House Joint Resolution 77, a measure invalidating the governor's virus-related orders, was passed in response to Shepard's March decision to temporarily halt other Republican-backed bills meant to rein in the governor's powers. Shepard wrote that the resolution presents the same legal challenges as the previous bills and should be put on hold until the larger court battle over COVID-19 orders is decided. Republicans have argued Beshear's orders should be subject to more oversight from the People's Branch. Beshear's office says Wednesday's decision retains the governor's ability to take executive action to, quote, protect and save Kentuckians' lives. In Lexington, I'm Josh James reporting.
Taking a look at your region's weather forecast tonight, mostly clear with a low around 55. Saturday, a 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms, otherwise partly sunny skies with a high near 74. Saturday night, 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a low around 51. Sunday, a 20% chance of showers after 7 a.m., otherwise mostly sunny skies with a high near 65. Sunday night, mostly clear with a low around 48.
On our feature segment today, commentator Dr. John Modaff says, get ready for your heart-healthy passport.
In the U.S., just under 3 million people die each year, in a non-pandemic year, that is. The major cause of death is heart disease at 660,000, followed by cancer at just under 600,000. The pandemic has killed 559,000, a death toll laid hard at the feet of Donald Trump by our current president, but actually one quarter of which have occurred under Mr. Biden's watch. So he'd best be careful about blaming the presidency for pandemic deaths. Meantime, the point about the pandemic and all the personal liberties that have been sacrificed to control it is that death and sickness were avoidable if people would change their behavior and be more responsible around each other and in their own actions. Preventable death, due to the virus, has been declared the enemy that must be fought at all costs. We need to save lives. Stay home, mask up, wash hands, lock down, close businesses, all in the name of one thing, saving lives. Of course, that is a good goal, but how serious are we about it? Let's look at those annual major causes of death and see. Do they just happen? Yes, it's a rhetorical question, but rhetoric can be fun. Let's look at heart disease. Does it just happen? That is it unavoidable? Do we really need to accept 660,000 deaths every year, with millions being lost each decade, or should we apply the same sorts of restrictions on behavior as we have in response to the coronavirus? Would you be willing to join the battle against heart disease, given that it kills more Americans each and every year than the virus has killed in 14 months? What sorts of changes would we all need to make? The sad, silly, and stupid thing is, despite all the hand-wringing and backlashing over the pandemic and how it relates to behavior and freedom, no such campaign to battle our number one killer has ever developed. Oh, sure, the Heart Association blips a PSA every now and then, and doctors harangue their patients all the time. But where is the national campaign, the governmentally imposed restrictions on behavior? Where are the restaurant closings due to the dangers of their menus to the lives of American hearts? Where are the lockdowns, the declarations of emergency, the relentless campaigns to save lives from a preventable disease? We are hypocrites, or short-sighted, or selectively outraged, or all of the above. We do not really appear to care about the entirely avoidable deaths due to diseases we are comfortable with. How can we justify the last year of killing freedom in the name of life when we have so long been in the habit of killing life in the name of freedom? I'm John Modaff.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, locally made crafts, education materials, and yarn shop, a community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop are open Monday through Saturday, online Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
It's 79 degrees here on the beautiful campus of Morehead State University. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Keneally Roberts and Daria Denisenko, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in the historic Breckenridge Hall. Shamari Mosley has a look at sports coming up, but first, I want to say thank you. We're so glad that you can spend time with us at the end of the work week.
It's a busy weekend for spring sports. For WMKY, I'm Shamari Mosley. The Round County baseball team is headed to Paul Lawrence Dunbar this weekend for a series of games. The Vikings face Mercer County tonight at 5:30 p.m. They'll face off with the host school and Russell on Saturday. Head coach Scott Collins says it will be nice to face off with three different teams.
Dunbar's hosting. You know, they'll play Mercer County after us on Friday night, and then Mercer will play Russell, I believe, on Saturday. So just kind of the triangle, but just getting some teams in and getting us a chance to go somewhere different and play.
Game time with Dunbar is set for 11 a.m. Saturday. The Vikings face Russell at 1 p.m. The Round County Senior High School softball team is preparing for multiple games this weekend. The Vikings will get things started this evening with a home contest against Wolf County. Tomorrow, they'll hit the road to take on Magoffin County. Head coach Larry Sloan says his girls are continuing to put in the work needed to compete with top teams in the region later in the season.
You know, the Ashburn, the Boyd, Lewis, Russell, Raceland, Greenup, those are the teams that year in and year out, you know that if you're going to compete, you got to be able to play those teams pretty solid.
First pitch against Wolf County this evening will be at 6 o'clock. The road contest against Magoffin County tomorrow will begin at noon. The Morehead State baseball team is in the middle of a doubleheader with the Governors on the road this afternoon. The Eagles are coming off of a loss last night in Game 1 of the series, 13-1. Head coach Mike Aoki says his team is focused when it comes to conference play.
We want to go out there and win every game we play, and that's the intent of it from the get-go. So we just need to play at the very highest level that we can. Baseball, it's all about the consistency of effort and the consistency and the level of play from day to day.
Live stats are available at msueagles.com. The Morehead State University football team will be playing at home tomorrow. The Eagles are set to face off with Valsperiso. Head coach Rob Tenure says his guys have been putting in the work this week in hopes of closing out the season on a high note.
We're playing a Valparaiso team that's, you know, a good football team. I think they're 3-1 right now. And so it's a big challenge, and we're looking forward to it. And we're going to prep and have a great week of preparation. And we're excited about hosting two home games to end our spring season.
Kickoff at Jane Stadium is set for noon tomorrow. The Eagles will close out the spring season next week when they host Butler for their second matchup of the year. The Morehead State softball team welcomes Belmont to University Field tomorrow. The Eagles stand at 9-20 on the season, and the Bruins are 8-18 overall. Head coach Samantha Jones says her team will focus first on what happens at the plate.
We always talk about, like, it's really important to start the trend of scoring first, and that hopefully that'll trickle through not only innings one, but all the way through seven. And so that's probably one of our goals and things that we've talked about as a team is, you know, we got to score first and we got to get some runs on the board to help alleviate a lot of pressure from the pitching standpoint, from the defensive standpoint.
The Eagles and the Bruins face off at 3:30 on Saturday. Sunday's doubleheader is set to begin at 1:30 and will air on ESPN+. The Morehead State volleyball team will be traveling this weekend to prepare for the NCAA tournament in Omaha, Nebraska. The big dance begins on Wednesday for the Eagles. This year's tournament was set up a little differently due to COVID regulations. The top 16 teams will enter the tournament in the second round. Associate head coach Kirsten Becker says her team was glad for the change in tournament format.
It's exciting to see who we played. We will play Creighton. They are a fantastic program. Omaha is home to them, so it'll be a fun experience.
Game time on Wednesday is set for 3:30 p.m. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Shamari Mosley.
Bud Luke has a look at the stock report right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Papa John's Pizza in the Patrick Center, Moorhead. Papa John's made-to-order specialty pizzas include The Works, Garden Fresh, Zesty Italian Trio, and Fiery Buffalo Chicken. Side items and desserts include garlic knots, breadsticks, chicken wings, chocolate chip cookie, and double chocolate chip brownie. Curbside pickup or delivery in Moorhead and Rowan County. Papa John's can be reached at 784-3551 and online at papajohns.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. U.S. stocks climbed to record levels and closed out at their session highs today as Wall Street wrapped up the week with solid gains amid rising reopening optimism. And the Dow Industrials did finish up 297.03 at 33,800.60, and the S&P 500 was up 31.63 at 4128.80, and both the Dow and the S&P did close at all-time highs. The NASDAQ Composite is close to an all-time high, as it was up 70.88 at 13,900.18. Stocks linked to the recovering economy led the gainers amid reopening optimism. Carnival Corporation was up 2.4% after getting two upgrades on Wall Street amid pent-up demand and potential summer restarting of cruises into the United States. GE climbed about 2%. J.P. Morgan was up about 1%. And the major averages are ending the week on a high note, or I should say the major averages will end the week with good weekly gains. The Dow is up more than 1%, and the S&P 500 has gained about 2% this week, and the NASDAQ Composite is actually up 2.4% for the week. On the data front, the Producer Price Index, which measures wholesale price inflation, jumped in the month of March with the March PPI data showing a rise of 1% compared with a projected increase of 0.4% from economists going into the report. And year over year, the PPI surged 4.2%, which marks the largest annual gain in more than 9 years. The 10-year Treasury yield did tick up slightly following this news, finishing at 1.66%. Treasury yields had retreated earlier this week from their recent highs, and market volatility has declined significantly as the S&P 500 has kept grinding higher to record highs, and the CBOE Volatility Index, known as the VIX, which for about a year had been over 20, has now been under the 20 threshold for 8 consecutive sessions, and the VIX actually fell below 17 today. In the commodities markets, oil was down 0.4% at $59.35 a barrel, while gold was down 0.8% at $1,744.30 an ounce. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was CSX up $1.81 at $98.29, Marathon Petroleum down 53 cents at $52.83, PPL Energy down 8 cents at $28.64, App Harvest down $1.04 at $16.98, Fifth Third Bank was up 30 cents at $38.44, and Walmart was up 7 cents to finish at $139.78. Reporting from the Ashland offices of Robert W. Baird, this is Bud Luke.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Paul Hitchcock, Greg Jenkins, Carrie Stambo, Carla Haight, Shamari Mosley, Ben Hall, Josh Grogan, and Daria Denisenko. WUKY's Josh James, the Robert Baird Company's Bud Luke, and our feature segment came from commentator Dr. John Modaff. Our theme music is composed and performed by Allison Brown. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY, Moorhead, Kentucky. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Keneally Roberts and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers. For WMKY News, All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5:30.